We've been talking about love ever since Valentine's Day. And we're going to continue that today. We're going to talk about how does love respond to failure. And I want to start by playing a game. Anybody in here like games? All right, we're going to have this side versus this side.
London, actually, there are three people on this side that already know the answer, but I've told them not to cheat. Yeah, Aaron's smart. All right.
There are two ways love responds to failure, and I want you to figure out what those two ways are. This is the first one, and I'm going to start off with you guys. You get to give me a letter, and just somebody shout out a letter. G? Nope. Okay, you guys give me a letter. Scott, give me a letter. Nope. This could be a long sermon. No O. E, no E. Somebody else. I heard I. There's no I. I heard U, and there is a U. So you get to, this side gets to go again. Not Noah, but somebody else from this side gets to give me another one. No O. Back over here. No V. I'm going to quit writing up how many you missed. You've got the point you're missing now. All right. Somebody over here. No C. T. All right. Oh. I'm glad somebody knew the answer. Okay. Yeah. All right. Whose side is it? Who got the T? They got the T. What'd you say? B is not it. Somebody over here? R. You know it? All right, you got it. All right. So you got it. I'm going to give it to this one because I know Scott knew what the answer was. So we're going to see if you can redeem yourself. So this is one way that love responds to failure is through truth. Because now let's see if I can spell this one right. Okay, we'll start with you guys again. We'll give you a second chance. Give them another one. Yes. Okay, another one. This side. E, yes. Y'all may not even give the other side a chance this time. Another one. No P. All right, this side. Give me a letter. S. No. This side. Wait a minute. C. All right, he voted for the C. It is a C. All right, you get another one. All right, Aaron said R. You know what it is? Grace. Good job. Okay. So, now hopefully you're going to remember that. Well, actually, before I put this away, let me give an example of this. In terms of a way love would respond in truth and grace, I could respond two different ways to the way y'all just played this game. First of all, I could say it was crazy that y'all guessed so many times. Look, I didn't even write half the things up here. It's ridiculous. Y'all, most of y'all have education, and all that's true. You just should have figured this out quicker than that. That's pretending it's truth. Now, grace would be, all right, that was pretty good. Y'all did okay, and you got that. You missed one, but you came back. You can get this. You can get it. Just keep working on it. All right. So there's a difference, but you need both. You need truth and grace. If you focus only on truth the whole time, you don't get to be pretty snobbish. Nobody's going to want to play the game with you. And if it's grace all the time and you say, well, you almost got the letter. You guessed T, but it was really R. I'll give it to you. It becomes meaningless, and it's not what it's supposed to be. There's supposed to be truth and grace, and so I want us to understand that in the context of life today. And hopefully this visual will help you remember what the point is when you leave. Grace and truth are the two ways that love responds to failure. And if we look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 6. This is what we read. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Well, I want to talk about the words that are up here. The words that we're going to be focused on, if you look in your bulletin there and there, are protection, trust, hope, and perseverance. And we'll start with protection. And there's a protection. We talked about truth. I think that's the next slide. Truth is, and we talked about what truth was in the context of when you're sharing truth with somebody. God is a gracious God, but God also reveals truth. He doesn't pretend things aren't the way they are. And in love, we're supposed to do the same thing. But the other side of that seesaw is grace. And if you put grace there and you only have grace, things are still going to be lopsided. But if you do both, there's a balance. And that's what love does. Love finds the balance. And a lot of times, based on our personalities, and if you think about it, you're probably one that's more likely to speak out and respond to somebody's failure, either in truth or grace. That's just a tendency. And you can think about what it is. You can think about the person beside of you. But we probably all need to work to some degree at having that balance between truth and grace. We need both. So I'm going to try to go through and share some examples and look at those words in the scripture to see what that means for us today. So we have, first of all, it says love protects. What does it mean to say love protects, but then we talk about that being truthful? I want to suggest that for me, as I thought about, prayed about, worked on this, it meant that in truth, you don't overprotect. There's a way you can overprotect, and some examples that came to my mind, and I heard this. I believe it's true. I don't know. Some people may parent differently, but I know this is the way we did. It worked for us, and I think it's probably right. When our children were born, Christy didn't go around the house when they were asleep saying, nobody can make any noise whatsoever. If we had guests over, we didn't say, okay, the kids are asleep. Everybody needs to talk in their inside voice. We carried on our daily routine. And what that was, if we had overprotected, because some people could have seen it as a failure. When you wake up a baby that's been sleeping, sometimes it's not a good thing. And for some moms, that's a real failure. But we did that at times. There were times we woke up Noah because of our loudness. But tell me what probably happened when we didn't protect him from that noise constantly. What was probably the result of that? He learned to sleep through it. So we didn't have to change everything we did, and we didn't have to worry about me. And was that bad for him? Probably not. He didn't have any problem sleeping through Christy and I getting up and getting ready and doing everything we did this morning. He was still sleeping after 8 o'clock this morning. That's one type of example. Another one is, and we struggle with this sometimes in America more than other places, I think. Do you know it's possible to be too clean? Do you know that? My mother-in-law does not believe that. We've had this discussion. In fact, I called her. We were in the hotel before we were getting ready to get on a plane to go to Haiti, the last Haiti trip I went on. I was sharing a room with Kevin Akershok, and a thing came on the news, and it talked about the fact that some Americans are too clean. And when you're too clean, what happens is you can actually destroy practically so many of the germs that are on your body that you become more susceptible to things that aren't good for you. There, you need a certain amount of germs to help your body build up an immune system to deal with the things your body needs to deal with. My mother-in-law cannot understand that. But it's true. There's such a thing as overprotecting. And then that just carries over into, there's times with people in our lives when we would want to step in and keep them from making bad choices. I'm not saying we completely ignore it, but there are times when we need to allow people to learn from the choices they make. Even though we know we can see them heading down a road, we don't need to protect them from every single one. And this could even be true that we don't need to mediate every relationship that someone has so that they avoid getting hurt. For example, I will probably back off of the fact I told my boys they can't date until they're 25. And if I had a girl, it would be 35. You don't do that. Even though it's going to break your heart when that happens to them, that's what truth is. Truth is helping them through the process, but not overprotecting. Now, let's think of the other side. What's grace? Grace goes with someone through the hurts. When Noah woke up from being asleep, we didn't say, tough job, deal with it. We're going to do it again next time. No, he starts crying. We pick him up. We console him. We help him get back to sleep. And the same thing in every other situation that we talked about there with the bad choices, with the relationships. Grace is there to help point out the pitfalls. Grace walks alongside of us and helps point out the pitfalls. It doesn't force us. It doesn't protect us, but it helps us. That's what grace does. Another, and this is a personal quick example for me. It's kind of the opposite of grace. Your grace doesn't suffocate people. And sometimes people can be so gracious, that's exactly what they're doing. This happened to me in a relationship. I've never told anyone this, not even Christy. It's about one of my ex-girlfriends. So y'all protect me if I need it. But what happened in a relationship, I thought things were great. But she got really, really mad at me one day, and I thought I had done something very good. She had a library book that was overdue, and it had already been overdue a week. And I simply told her that she really needed to take the book to the library, or she was going to end up having to pay more money for that book. Now, doesn't that sound reasonable? Isn't that a very appropriate thing to do? I think it is. But she looked at me and she said, Greg, you're supposed to be my boyfriend, not my father, and I heard it the first 12 times you told me. So you see, why was I so focused on that? She didn't need to be told what to do. She knew the library book was overdue. And that wasn't what she wanted me to be worrying about. And it annoyed her, and rightfully so. That wasn't where my focus needed to be. It wasn't where my responsibility needed to be. We broke up 3 months later. But it was a mutual thing, but that's another whole story. But next, we move on to trust. We had protection. Protection, you have an aspect of truth, then you have grace, but now trust. Truth and trust. You want people to realize that there are consequences to broken trust. The truth is, there are consequences to broken trust. And then there goes one step further. Forgiveness does not necessarily remove those consequences. You get that? Forgiveness does not necessarily remove those consequences. And there's some people who are Christians, and whether it be in their relationship with God, their relationship with each other, they have this skewed idea of forgiveness, that if somebody has said they're going to forgive them, that they should never have to worry about that ever again, any of the consequences. That's not what the Bible says. There are many, many examples. One of the examples there being, when Jesus died on the cross, he died between two criminals. one of those criminals asked to be saved and understood who Jesus was. So, and Jesus was able to forgive him there from the cross. So, does it make sense when he had done this, when he had recognized this and known who Jesus was and done that with his heart, doesn't it make sense that the angels would have come and freed this man and he would have gone back to his family and lived happily ever after because he realized this? That didn't happen. The man continued to die a very painful, disgraceful death on the cross. There were still consequences for what he had done. That's truth. But there's also grace. Grace, I want to read Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It might be familiar to some of us. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 21. Says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And even if you go to understand what that scripture means, it doesn't mean you literally keep count and forgive them 77 times, but you forgive them over and over and over again, just like God forgives us over and over and over again. That's grace. Now, that doesn't, in this scripture, mean that you become a doormat. It doesn't mean that simply if somebody says the words, I'm sorry, you have to forgive them, and then they come back 5 minutes later and do the exact same thing again with the same intentions in their heart. That's not what scripture is talking about. But we're all human. We all make mistakes. And we need to be able and willing to forgive appropriately. Move on to hope. We've had protection. So love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. The truth behind hope is that if it's really hope, the type of hope that you experience in love, it doesn't try to sell false hope. And you've been with people who've done this. People have told you things to try to make you feel better that it just wasn't true. Or it could even be worse. It could cause more harm. Some examples I came up with. So you failed a test. Anybody in here ever failed a test? Raise your hand if you have failed a test. If you don't raise, Robert, raise your hand. All right. If you failed a test and then you had this friend that came, you're upset about it. You're upset. You didn't like the fact you failed the test. You have this friend that comes along and says, no big deal. Let's go have some fun. You don't need to worry about that. That's false hope because it is a big deal. It may not be that big of a deal with that one thing, depending on what the test was. But if that's the way you begin to choose to respond to failure, that you just ignore it, you're headed down a bad road. Because whether it's failing a test or whether it's failing in other areas in life, God intends us to learn from that. That's part of the truth. You don't go off and act like it's no big deal. Same thing would be true for a failed relationship. And I've heard this said before. Someone tells their girlfriend, you'll be over your boyfriend in a day or two. No big deal. Most of the time, not all the time, but that pain and that hurt from a real relationship is going to last longer than 2 days. And then one that really gets to me. Sure, you messed up, but once you become a Christian, you won't have any problems. There have been people who said that, or there have even been pastors who stood in the pulpit, and even though they didn't use those exact words, they were so trying to convince somebody to respond to a message so they could feel good about themselves, they tried to make people think that. It's false hope. Now, the hope that says truth says that, yes, you've messed up. But, and yes, there could be consequences. But there's something we can learn from this. And that's where the grace comes in, because the grace is a hope that people are able to see beyond themselves and their situation. And sometimes we need each other to help ourselves do that. When we failed, when we've messed up, when we don't believe in ourselves, we need help seeing beyond ourselves and our situation. We need someone to believe in us. We need someone to see things we can't see. And a lot of times that's where God chooses to use us, because it's not just us. It's if Chad's struggling, Chad's had a bad experience, something has happened, he's really messed up. But I've been around Chad, and I saw him lead a group of high school kids in understanding what their testimony was. I can genuinely come to Chad and say, Chad, yeah, you messed up. And God's probably not pleased with that, and there are things you can learn from that. But Chad, I also saw you with those high school kids, and you were sharing your heart, and you shared your testimony, and you were a part of wanting them to be able to share theirs in a way that they understood who God was in their life in a different way, in a way that others would know who they are. And Chad, that doesn't happen if there's not value, if there's not purpose that God has on your life, and that's going to continue. That's grace. That's walking alongside somebody and understanding enough about them to help them see things they may not be able to see themselves, and to provide that type of hope. That's what grace does. It doesn't offer false hope. It gives real hope. Then perseverance, our last one. Truth. The truth is, in perseverance, you have to keep pushing even when you don't feel like it. You can't give up just because you messed up. That's what truth says. Doesn't necessarily feel good, but it's true. Some examples of this, if you need it, that you can't just give up because you feel like you messed up and there's no more hope. Just a few examples. Vincent van Gogh, one of the greatest artists of all times, he only sold one painting in his lifetime. That sound like a success, Pat, for an artist? Considered one of the greatest in the world. Thomas Edison, you know how many times he failed before creating the light bulb? Approximately 1,000 times he failed before finally creating the light bulb. Benjamin Franklin dropped out of school at the age of 10. Jim Carrey, anybody here know who Jim Carrey is? Jim Carrey at one time was homeless. Albert Einstein did not speak until he was 4 years old. Yet most of us know all of these people today and see them as being very successful. Now, there's a scripture, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, that provides a transition, I think, for perseverance from truth to grace. This is taken from the New Living Version of the Bible. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, or another word would be perseverance. And endurance or perseverance develops strength and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. So we understand truth. We understand that in perseverance we have to continue even when it's hard, but grace says that you have strength beyond your own. And thus perseverance can be an opportunity for you to grow, for you to become stronger, for you to understand more of what love really is, for failure to be turned into a success. But you don't have to do it on your own. And this is a scripture that sometimes can be overused, and you've heard it. I've used it so much I almost didn't include it today, but it just fits, and it's just right. And maybe it's one that you need to hear again, but Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Even if I've messed up, even if I've broken a relationship, even if I've really, really, really done something I shouldn't have done. Strength Scripture says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up. And there's a scripture. Last scripture I'll share with you comes from John chapter 1, verse 17. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses. But this is what I want you to hear. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I want you to say that with me three times. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And if we know that, if we understand that, Jesus, we know Jesus Christ died on the cross. We know He made a difference in our lives. We know that we can ask for forgiveness and we're supposed to be able to spend eternity with Him. But grace and truth, if we understand what Jesus Christ did, should be a part of every day of our life. It should also be a part of us understanding who God is and our relationship with Him. And yes, there's truth. And yes, God doesn't play games. And yes, there are consequences. And yes, there are things for us to learn on this earth. And sometimes they're hard lessons. That's truth. But the grace is God loves us. And we're to show that love to each other. And we're to walk beside each other. And we're to be able to forgive each other and mean it. And our hearts are supposed to be able to be changed. And relationships are supposed to be able to be different. That's grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I invite you to respond today. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. In fact, I know probably know very little, but God does. And you know whether what you need today, where that scale needs to be balanced, where whether you're so focused on the truth in your life and the mistakes that you've made and the judgment that you think you deserve that you are ignoring the grace, or you're hanging over here in grace part and you're not taking seriously what you need to be learning from mistakes. Or maybe it's more in your relationship with other people and you need to be able to give them a balance of truth and grace. You need to be able to help somebody in learning and growing, or maybe you simply need to forgive somebody and help them to continue to move in a way that they're finding hard to do. But it's a constant tuning of being able to find that balance of grace and truth. I pray you'll spend time focusing on that as we continue worshiping.